last word on business.
With Forvis Mazars. Expert corporate finance, tax and M&A services. Driving your business growth. Visit ForvisMazars.ie.
Ian Gardner, columnist with the Business Post, is with us. And Ian, Netflix and Spotify are two services that many of our listeners will have access to. Tell us about the potential for them to link up to produce live concerts and award shows.
Yeah, a really interesting story in the Wall Street Journal today. And we know Netflix has won the streaming wars and beaten cable TV and normal TV. And we know Spotify has beaten the music industry because it has the largest number of subscribers to a music service. And what the Wall Street Journal are reporting today is that they see a different type of content being successful in the future. So instead of the likes of Bridgerton or Squid Games or some of the movies Netflix is making, they're seeing big demand amongst new subscribers for a different type of content. And what they're saying is, the Wall Street Journal, is that Netflix and Spotify could be partnering around a number of different projects, such as music award shows, live concert series, and they're also talking about things such as big celebrity interviews or short turnaround documentaries for stuff that's in the news at the moment. So you think of something like the covering of the Diddy trial. And this is seen as capturing the attention span of a younger generation. And we've already seen over the last year or so Netflix move into sports. It has, of course, some NFL games in the United States. There was a Katie Taylor fight. You had the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight, if you want to call it a sporting event. But these are the type of one-off events or the type of new events or series that is capturing new customers. And you can obviously see with Spotify, given that it's moved in recent years into podcasting with the likes of the Joe Rogan Show and many others, that there would be, to use that awful business jargon, synergies between the two companies. Now, there's been no confirmation of this, but if you see it reported in the Wall Street Journal, you can be pretty much guaranteed that some pretty serious conversations were had about this. And it will surely, Matt, put the fear of God into TV. This is one of their last series. This is one of their last bits of things that they have.
Yeah, I mean, these were supposed to be alternatives to conventional terrestrial television, but now it seems that they're just going to move into the remaining things that were keeping these TV stations afloat. If the TV stations didn't have live sports, for example, as Netflix is getting more into and Apple is looking towards as well, and now if you add in things like concerts and award ceremonies, what will be left for conventional television?
Very little, and they don't have the pockets, very few of them have the deep pockets to compete with the likes of Netflix or Spotify. And you think of it over the weekend, the BBC, the amount of resources it put into the Glastonbury Festival, Sky were broadcasting the Isle of Wight Festival. These are the type of things that the traditional channels have said, look, we can do this, we can sign up these type of artists that we can do series with as well. And you're not going to be able to compete with some of these deep-pocketed companies because, as I said, Netflix is a hugely profitable company. It's making billions upon billions of dollars in profit. So if it wants to sign up an exclusive deal, it's got the rights to WWE wrestling. And that would have been on traditional cable TV in the United States for decades. But all of these organizations are saying, here is somebody that has a vast amount of money, whereas traditional cable TV or linear TV or state broadcasters just can't compete with that anymore.
Okay. When you make an investment, or if when you hear an advert for an investment, there's always a warning on the thing that your money is at risk. The value of an investment could go down as well as up. You could lose all of your investment, blah, blah, blah. Is that about to change?
Well, the Business Post are reporting that, and Peter Burke, the minister who you had on before 6 o'clock, is the person who will be steering this through government. Because what the Business Post are saying is that all of those caveats may turn off people from investing into Irish small companies. And we do know that there are many companies out there who raise money from small investors, and they come with very onerous disclosure requirements that you have to warn people about the risks, as you say, of losing your money. And that could be deterring people from investing in businesses and companies out there. And you hear it at the end of the ads on radio, the ads on TV, anywhere you look now, there are issues around, well, as you said, the value of your money can go up and down. And is that acting as a disincentive? There are schemes out there, Matt, for ordinary people to put their money into companies and generate a return, but they still have to carry those caveats and those disclosure requirements. And they are seen, at least according to the Business Post reporting on this, that this is pulling off the potential to the access for Irish people who may have money and are looking for a home for it and want to get involved, but may be deterred by all of this onerous regulation. And we have seen in other areas, Matt, the government watering back or rowing back on some of the regulations in other areas. You were covering that story about the labelling on wine and other alcohol bottles last week. So I think this is seen as just another area to take away some of the red tape and encourage companies to raise money by getting Irish people and getting Irish investors involved in it.
What will the Elon Musk disciples and fanboys say to the news of another further sharp fall in Tesla sales?
A huge fall in sales, yet the share price is up today by around 5%.
How does that make sense?
Because there are people that buy shares in Tesla that don't particularly care about how many cars it actually sells. And it's selling a lot fewer cars in the last couple of months than it did last year. So Tesla came out today with what it calls its second quarter delivery. So between April, May and June, how many cars did it deliver to customers? It delivered a grand total of 384,122. That is down by 60,000 on the same period in 2024. And the big reason for this is sales in Europe have fallen off a cliff. In some of the biggest car markets, some of the biggest countries in Europe, like Germany, France, the United Kingdom and Italy, sales are down by anywhere between half and 60%. Even in the United States, sales are still declining a little bit. Is it Elon Musk's brand? Is it the price of cars of Tesla compared to cheaper competition from Asian vehicles? Are there other factors at play here? Are people falling out of love with electric vehicles? That doesn't sound like a good plausible excuse, because we're seeing some of the Chinese car companies and some of the South Korean car companies make inroads into the European market. So Tesla has a big problem with its core business of selling electric vehicles. Last week, Elon Musk actually fired the head of production for Tesla, and the vice president of a company called Omid Ifshan, who is somebody who has been very close to Elon Musk for a number of years. He was responsible for all production in the United States and Europe. He bit the bullet last week, and Elon Musk is assuming his responsibilities. And yet, as I said, that share price up today by around 5%. It had a very strong week last week. Again, a lot of people, when they look at Tesla, they don't care about the actual cars. They look at things around the software so that vehicles can drive themselves. They look at the batteries the car company makes. They also look at these things, such as if you go to the Tesla website, you'll see something called the Optimus robot, which Elon Musk has said they will produce in vast numbers.
One last thing. Another 9,000 job losses at Microsoft. So presumably that means there are people worried in Dublin for their jobs.
Yeah, and I think they will be, because what Microsoft are announcing today, 9,000 job cuts on top of 6,000 that were announced in May only a couple of months ago, and 10,000 jobs that were cut back in 2023. And we have seen all of the big tech companies, the likes of Facebook even, cutting layers out. You're seeing jobs coming out of management level roles, and Microsoft has a huge global workforce. It's almost a quarter of a million people that work for Microsoft these days. Since the pandemic, lots of these companies have decided we don't want as many layers between senior managers and staff working on product development, like engineers and software engineers. So they are cutting out management grade levels, and Microsoft announcing those job losses today. They'll happen over the next couple of months. We don't know how many jobs will go in Ireland, but it does have 4,000 people here, and it is its European headquarters. So it'd be very surprising if there wasn't some sort of job losses. The requirements in this country are, Matt, you can't just fire people the way you can in the United States. So it will take a 30-day consultation period before they notify staff that their roles are at risk. Now, we have seen...
No, but I have to leave it there, Ian. Thank you very much, Ian Guider, from the Business Post.
The Last Word on Today FM.